Good morning, I'm Mike Horace with your WCMU Morning News Roundup for Monday, June 1st. Governor Gretchen Whitmer released a video statement yesterday in response to demonstrations across Michigan against police brutality. We have more from Rick Pluta.
Whitmer was joined on the video by Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist. They both said anger over the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis is justified, but they asked people to find nonviolent ways to express their frustration. Whitmer also blamed most of the violence, vandalism, and arson in Detroit and Grand Rapids on people who don't live in those cities.
They'll leave the community they say they are supporting. They'll go home. And it will be black businesses and communities that will be destroyed.
Whitmer and Gilchrist also said widespread gatherings threaten to undo the progress made in slowing the spread of COVID-19. The lieutenant governor leads a task force examining the disparate impact of the coronavirus on communities of color. I'm Rick Pluta.
Meanwhile, one of those protests was in Mount Pleasant yesterday. Organizers say approximately 500 people chanted, "Say his name and no justice, no peace." The crowd consisted of CMU students and faculty and Mount Pleasant community members. Many were carrying signs reading Black Lives Matter. Mary Irving is a community member that protested back during the Vietnam War. She says she feels the protest was well coordinated yesterday, but was upset that it was needed at all.
We all sang "We Shall Overcome" together back in the early days, and I'm not sure what we should be singing today.
After a nearly 3-mile walk downtown, the crowd laid face down on Broadway Street, chanting, "I can't breathe," for 9 minutes to represent the death of George Floyd. The Mount Pleasant Police Department coordinated by closing down roads and escorting the crowd downtown. The police chief marched with them and spoke during the demonstration. Another protest is planned for today. Hundreds gathered at the state capitol in Lansing yesterday to protest the police killing of George Floyd, a black man in Minneapolis, by a white police officer. The Lansing protest was one of many across the country decrying police brutality towards black people. We have more from Abigail Sinsky.
The crowd at the Capitol chanted, "Say his name, hands up, don't shoot," and "Black Lives Matter" as they protested the murder of George Floyd. Protesters marched around the Capitol and through the streets of Lansing several times, remaining peaceful. Sana Elam came to protest with her friends. She says she's surprised it has taken so many police killings of black people to yield protests like this.
It took all of the rioting, the burning of cities around the nation for people to wake up and realize this is an issue and that we need to fix it and it needs to change.
The protest remained peaceful until the evening when protesters burned a car and vandalized buildings. Police tear gassed the crowd before instituting a curfew for the city through 5 a.m. Monday. In Lansing, I'm Abigail Sensky.
Meanwhile, protests in Grand Rapids turned violent on Saturday evening. That led to thousands of residents rallying to clean up the community yesterday. More from Patrick Center.
Repairs and cleanup are underway after Saturday evening's vandalism targeted dozens of businesses along the City of Grand Rapids Monroe Center, where storefront windows were shattered.
I would describe this as bringing out the best in humanity to counterbalance the violence that happened last night. My name's Carol Carlson. I'm an attorney here at Smith, Hoy, Rice, and Rogge. We had probably 90% of the windows of our law firm were smashed, but nothing was stolen, and most importantly, no one was hurt.
Grab that 2x4 under there.
Contractors and construction firms offering muscle and resources boarding up windows.
I brought a shovel, a broom, and another broom.
Karina Morales lives nearby. She's one of thousands of residents gathering downtown, assisting with a community-wide cleanup effort.
This isn't the way it should be. You know, my 5-year-old was watching, and he said, "Mom, we don't do that to our city, right?" I said, "No, son, we don't. But, you know, there's people that do. But at the end of the day, I see a lot of unity here, and it just makes me happy."
In downtown Grand Rapids, I'm Patrick Center.
The number of coronavirus cases in Michigan continues to drop, and a loosening of some stay-at-home restrictions seems imminent. Speaking at a news conference on Friday, the state's chief medical executive, Dr. Jonae Khaldun, says increased testing capacity is allowing health officials to get a better picture of the pandemic.
As we continue to aggressively increase testing and the downward trend in cases continues across the state, in the upcoming days, we will be able to move forward different regions of the state in the next phases of the My Safe Start plan.
Caldoun says throughout the pandemic, the positive rate for COVID-19 tests has been about 13%, but over the past week, that rate has dropped to just 4%. In Gladwin County, restaurants can now open for dine-in service. Steve Carmody explains.
Gladwin is one of five Michigan counties covered by a state of emergency declaration signed by Governor Gretchen Whitmer after damaging floods this month. The Gladwin County Prosecuting Attorney's Office says the emergency declaration states any emergency order issued in response to the COVID-19 crisis is temporarily suspended. In a Facebook post, the office says the benefit in allowing restaurants to offer dine-in service to residents, emergency workers, volunteers, and property owners is clear. Since March, the governor's executive orders intended to slow the spread of COVID-19 have prevented Michigan restaurants from offering dine-in service. A spokesman says Michigan's Attorney General's office will defer to local law enforcement in determining what is necessary to best support emergency response efforts. I'm Steve Carmody.
Elsewhere around Michigan, there are over 13,000 miles of trails, and state officials say they are being put to use this year. Hunter Dode reports on the increased use of trails following the pandemic.
Northwest Michigan trail systems saw a busy weekend over Memorial Day, and that's expected to continue. Scott Slavin is the Northwest Lower Peninsula Recreational Trail Specialist. He says trail usage is running above average.
We're seeing holiday use on normal weekends. So our use is extremely high. It's the highest most of our staff have seen ever.
Slavin says he expects trail use to remain high under current stay-at-home orders. The DNR has put signs at trailheads to encourage social distancing. Hunter Dode, WCMU News.
U-Pick farms around the state are expected to open to the public within the next few weeks. They were recently given the green light to open by the governor. Laura Michaels explains why this year the industry may be busier than usual.
Cooler May temperatures will delay the opening of some U-Pick farms a few weeks. That's according to Michigan Agritourism. They say customers can expect COVID-19 related precautions, including being separated by every other row, one-way traffic, and line reducing strategies. Janice Benson is with Michigan Agritourism. She argues picking your own food may now be the safer option.
You're out in the open air, the open fields, there's lots of space, there's lots of room in the fresh air.
Benson says revenue from U-Pick Farms brings in as much as $37 million a year. For WCMU, I'm Laura Michaels.
Immigrant rights organizers say they plan to fight every step of the way against a proposed immigration detention facility in Ionia County. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has said it wants to open a privately run detention center in Michigan or Ohio. Immigration Centers of America has proposed a site in Ionia County. Timothy Thompson lives in the area.
And we are just going to make sure that the word gets out to the community that this is not something we need or want in our community.
Ionia County commissioners tabled a resolution earlier this month to support the detention facility, but the site being proposed is privately held and would not require county approval. And that is your WCMU Morning News Roundup for this Monday, the first day of June 2020. I'm Mike Horace. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk again tomorrow.